It's, you know, the drill with Sam and Rutz.
This bitch.
That's the pre-roll intro.
I like it. I like
the energy. I actually saw that, so I
just a little whiny bitch.
We should who, me?
No. Well,
it says 0% uploading. Why is that? Do I need to worry about that?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay, there we go. 99%. All right, we're good. We should do an episode on, like, you know, talking about your whole genealogy, you know, sort of, because I'm very curious about that.
I will. I'll play something out.
If you feel comfortable sharing that stuff on the podcast.
Hell yeah.
You know, I'm not interested in doing one for myself, but maybe I could. I don't know. I mean, I guess because I don't want to do any genetic, like, you know, testing to see, but maybe, like, doing a little, you know, maybe we could talk and you could tell me how to do it. Maybe I could do a little digging too to see. I'd be curious.
Yeah, why not?
I do know that just from, you know, and you probably know this, but my great grandfather was an orchestra leader.
Interesting.
And his band played for the Three Stooges.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Well, they're Broadway shows, not like movies or anything, but he, you know, so.
Oh, so, I
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But anyway, with that said, this is more of a forced pre-roll because I was aware of it this time.
Oh, I know. Damn.
Well. My
I
fellow,
got distracted. Now I'm starting to do a little research.
Now, my fellow listeners, I guess that would imply that I listen too, and I don't. So, my listeners, our listeners, the one or two people who have stuck around this long,
ain't that the truth?
Our biggest fan. It's You Know the Drill with Sam and Rutz.
Are they still big? Are they a nice Dyson Bladeless fan?
Are they still what?
Are they? They're such a big fan. Are they a nice? Like,
oh my god! Get out of here! Get out of here! don't make me make a Star Trek reference.
You already mentioned it. Doesn't matter. I'm already bummed by this episode.
Life has no meaning now. Time to end it.
Nope.
The podcast that is.
Believe me, I was going back. I was gonna finish. I was trying to find another book because I, you know, listen to books on Audible.
Yeah.
And. I'm working through a fun series right now, and it's going to be my wreck for the end of the episode. So it's going to be fun. But
okay,
I was like, realized, oh, I never finished Will Wheaton's biography. Yeah, biography. I guess.
Oh yeah, you got to avoid that one for certain reasons.
And then I opened it up, and it was in the middle of him telling more Star Trek stories, and I'm like, all right, I mean, I know why.
Will Wheaton is kind of a bit of a Star Trek super fan, so of course.
I know. I thought I was past that part of the story because I listened. I'm like 20 hours into that. That's a 45 hour autobiography. He talks about himself all the time, and so I thought I was past it. I was past that point of his career, you know.
Well, he's still, like, you know, he's still super into it, so.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That you did that to yourself.
Oh, totally.
No sympathy.
Did.
No sympathy.
Well, you know what? I was being maliciously compliant about it. So, there's a bridge to what our show is about today.
I guess so. Yeah, well, you've got the topic.
Yeah, so, I've been kind of low-key addicted to these. But, because I've been feeling this way about my personal work lately. Today we're going to talk about moments of malicious compliance. So for those of you who are not aware of what that is, essentially someone above you gives you the most ridiculous order, or someone, it can be anybody, but in most cases it's work related. And
sure.
You're going to develop the most inconvenient way to listen and play by the rules
in a
roundabout, inconvenient way.
So, like, if somebody charges you for something and you pay in pennies out of spite, sort of thing?
Malicious compliance. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So, I've got a couple here, but we'll get to probably you know, three or four of them, and that'll be enough. They're a little bit lengthier than our the assholes. So
yeah, they're too lengthy for the assholes.
Hey, nothing's too lengthy. It can fit three raccoons. All right.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Okay. Boss says to look pretty.
Okay.
This isn't my story, but my friend's. So let me preface that. My friend worked at a jewelry store, and the attire was a business suit. She loves her job because she is surrounded every day by precious metals and stones.
Sure.
She's a nerd for Victorian fashion or whatever, you know, you want to, that is regarding fashion. Balls, princesses, and the royalty of Europe.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder what her opinion is on Kate Middleton.
Yeah. Jeez.
All right. Anyways.
Do you have an opinion of Kate Middleton?
Eh, she's dead. She's chilling with Diana. Okay.
Wait, what?
Anyway, the only thing she hates in that job was the manager, Susie.
Yeah.
From the account of my friend, Susie has an attitude similar to the fiery godmother from Shrek. Very kind in front of customers, but would then bare her teeth when they left. Her favorite pastime was to chat with a customer while criticizing the employees with remarks about their look, appearance, or how they accessorize.
Wait, that's what what's that? That's what the manager would do?
That's the manager would do, yeah.
Okay.
The accessories that didn't match their complexion and such. She seems to have a grudge for my friend, probably because she engages with the customers with minor trivia like, did you know Jade has a hidden meaning? And such. And it made a lot of people return to the store.
Wait, so she was resentful of...
So she was resentful that her employee was... Maybe because it sounds like they probably work on commission, right? At least to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And because she's such a trivia little nerd, she had more interest... Like, she was generally interested.
But, like, the manager...
Would just bitch about her employees to her.
Why would she be upset if she's like doing stuff that's bringing people back? I mean, the manager's not working off a commission, so
you're right. It makes no sense to me.
That's weird. Okay. Anyway, yeah.
One day, Susie came in extremely pissed and started off on my friend about how she looks. Mind that the dresses is mind that she dresses as plainly as possible because she geeks out when it comes to anything fashion related to the 14th century.
Sure.
Okay, and she says, and she has to look like what the customer wants to look like. Imagine that a light bulb went off on her head and blood rushed into her face as she thought things that she could wear and whatnot. So for the entire week, which crosses Valentine's Day, she dressed up in gowns and dresses matched with accessories that made her look like a Barbie princess. Mm-hmm. The entire time, there were people coming up to her about the dress, the accessories, and the theme to which she explained with delight. Susie was steaming the entire time. She tried to get her fired, but the owner was present because of the upcoming holiday and was happy with the increase in sales.
Yeah.
I managed to sneak by and saw her in a white dress that screamed frozen as if it had the Eastern vibe to it, and Susie glaring from the back. I heard she left after the week was over without notice and someone else was promoted. My friend wasn't too bothered by it because the current manager had seniority and was pretty chill, so she's happy.
Well, that's good. And it sounds like the friend is, it doesn't sound like that was intentional. Like, my read on it is that the friend seems like just an enthusiastic person who's, like, not really bothered. And good for her, like, you know, isn't really getting involved in sort of not that it's an office, but the office politics side of things. And is just so enthusiastic about what she does. That she was like, oh, I have an opportunity to dress the way I want now. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
And it was like unintentional malicious compliance.
I'm okay with that. That's the best one.
It's great. No, it's great. I mean, yeah, because like it seems like her friend is not bothered and like is unaffected. But from what I get, which is cool.
Yeah. I like Susie. I think she'd be a delight, actually.
Wait, I thought Susie was the man. Is Susie the friend?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, Susie's the bitch. I meant the other
one. Yeah. No, and you know, that's a feel-good story because it's just a manager who for some reason has a hang-up with someone who likes what they do and is good for the business. If there's no real reason to... I don't understand why she doesn't like her employees or this person in particular because it sounds like Like, there's no reason given. I mean, I'm sure there is something. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. But, like, it doesn't sound like she's a particularly good manager because she's letting personal feelings get in the way of, like, actual, like, this employee is actually good at her job and actually brings people back and loves what she does. Like, there's no reason to dislike this employee. That's just...
Exactly.
She's a petty manager, and she left. She had no effect on this employee, as far as I could tell. That may not be true, but... the employee wins at the end. She lost, and yeah, happy story.
We love that.
It's great. That's a great one.
All right, well, hopefully, we have more of those like that. So, here's the next one.
Is this a Reddit thing?
Yeah.
Oh, is Kate Middleton die? Is that what? Oh.
No. So Kate Middleton. So for those of you who aren't following the drama.
Oh yeah.
Kate Middleton went into the hospital for a supposed like cosmetic surgery or. Some like she had some work on her, you know, abdomen or something like that, and that was before Christmas, and she hasn't been seen in public since.
Oh, weird.
And like it's gotten weirder. Like they released a picture. Oh my god, I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless.
Woo. The royal family released a picture of her and the family, and it's clearly Photoshop. And even
that's
like
weird.
The Daily Mail and the New York Times called it out for being Photoshop. And so they walked it back, and they're like, yeah, it was Photoshop, but she Photoshopped it herself. So,
what? That's weird.
It's weird. It's real weird.
That is weird. And, like, yeah, okay. I don't, like, I used to sometimes have to, you know, do, like, my old job. I had to follow some things about...
the royals.
And I hated that stuff, because I just find it so uninteresting and insufferable.
Oh, especially, like, people were also worried, because, you know, the you know King Charles has cancer, so
oh he does,
yeah. So about the same time it came out that King Charles has cancer. I don't remember what kind. I think it's the treatable. I don't look into it. I don't care that much about the royal family.
No, I don't either. But these just as stories are kind of fascinating.
So like
but so
maybe we should do an episode about it or something.
Oh,
it'd
God.
Be interesting at least. But
flashbacks.
The only thing out of all of it that has come out that's been interesting is that all like a month ago, there was a whole meme train of Meghan Markle committing a assault burn. just by actively killing, or not necessarily killing, but like, you know, marrying into the family and then having everyone else in line, you know, to the top of the family being suspiciously murdered off or just dying.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's a vibe. That's a vibe I can get behind.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, no, I okay.
Anyway. Boss demands overtime pay for zero work.
Oh, okay. My God. Yeah. That person's the asshole. I know we're not doing Am I the Asshole, but like that's unbelievable. Yeah, okay.
Okay. So this happened a while back, but the memory still brings a smirk to my face whenever I think about it.
Good.
I used to work for a company where the boss had this habit of demanding that we stay late, even when there was absolutely no work left to be done.
What?
It was one of those toxic environments where productivity was measured by the hours you spend at the desk, rather than your actual output of your work.
This is a guy who has no business being in any kind of... This guy should be at the bottom level, because that is not the measure of good leadership. At all. This is clear
Agreed.
Sign that this person has no clue what it's like to be a leader. And unfortunately, you know, at least in this country, at least in my experience, often those are the kind of people who become leaders, the people who should be at the bottom because they're incompetent and they have zero, they're brainless zombies. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. One day, after wrapping up all my tasks well before the end of the day, my boss came over and told me that I needed to stay late because that's just how things are done around here. Mind you, there was literally nothing else for us to do.
Power trip.
Instead of arguing or trying to reason with him, I decided to play along with his ridiculous demand for overtime pay. I nodded, grabbed a book I've been meaning to read, and settled back into my chair. For the next 2 hours, I sat at my desk, flipping through pages, occasionally pretending to jot down notes, and looking as busy as possible. At the end of those 2 hours, my boss came by to check on me, expecting me to be toiling away at some imaginary tasks. Instead, he found me reading a novel. He looked puzzled and asked, "What are you doing?" With a straight face, I replied, "Well, you asked me to stay late, so I figured I might as well put in some overtime. This book has been on my reading list for a while. Needless to say, my boss was speechless. He couldn't really argue with me since he asked me to stay late and I was technically still on the clock. From that day forward, he never asked me to stay late unless there was actual work to be done. Malicious compliance at its finest. The TLDR, boss demanded I stay late for no reason, so I decided to put in overtime by reading a book at my desk.
Nice. Wait, so the title was to expects extra work for no overtime, though, right?
No, it says, it says demands overtime pay for no work.
Oh, demands overtime pay. Okay, I think my brain just inverted that. Okay, so this was for somebody who was still getting paid to be on paid overtime. Yep. Okay, well, that's, yeah, good for this person. Yeah, that's radical.
Radical.
Yeah, yeah. Like just, you know, you're getting paid to read. That's great. I love it. Another great story.
Okay, so let's deviate from the workplace. Just a little bit, though. Okay?
Just a little.
All right. Entitled mother tells my mom to handle her kids.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right. Me, 17 female, and my mom, 41 female, took me out to get a makeup the other day for a friend whose birthday is coming up. We entered the store, and all was going really well. I was checking out concealers while my mom was on the other side of the shop, looking through various shades of lipstick. Entered entitled mother, late 20s, give or take, with her devil spawn. I say devil spawn because her kids were misbehaving wildly. She didn't bother even once to tell them to stop or something along those lines. Not even a minor rebuke. I say devil spawn because that about sums these two kids up. They were running around, wild around the shop, throwing testers around, and being a general nuisance. My mom stepped in when the kids started poking their slimy little fingers into the lipstick testers. I get it, they're just testers, but ew, people are likely going to use those to decide whether they like the shade or not, and God knows when those fingers have been. Like, one of them was legitimately picking his nose minutes ago.
Oh, jeez. Although, in all fairness, who knows where the lips that have tested those have been.
Fair. Exactly. My mom, having four kids of her own, looked around to find their parents. And entitled mother was the only one in the shop besides us. My mom called out to her, and this is how the conversation went.
And who's the poster again? They're just the...
Just, you know, this girl that she was in this store shopping with her mom, trying to find a gift for her friend for her birthday.
And does her mom work at the store or no?
No, they're just shopping.
Okay. Okay, so it's... Okay, yeah.
So it's just two people in the line. I know you're not, like, familiar with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mom. Yeah, are these yours? I know, very obvious, but my mom's a very polite person, so let's just, you know, it's not odd to me.
Yeah.
Entitled mother. Yes. Mom, can you please tell them to stop touching the testers? They're not toys. Entitled mother. If it's such a problem, why don't you handle them? Oh, boy. My mom left the shop for a few minutes and signaled me not to follow her. She came back with two buff security guards in tow. The kids were still poking their fingers in the testers. The guards walked up to the kids, and in the deepest baritone ever, one asked, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" The kids looked terrified and cue the waterworks. Entitled mother immediately stormed over and began reprimanding the guards for scaring her poor white angel. She then saw my mom nearby. Entitled mother, "You did this." At this point, she was practically hissing like a cat. "How dare you teach me how to parent?" Mom. In an eerie monotone, I like the extravagance.
Yeah.
You told me to handle them, hence I handled them.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She screamed more obscenities at my mom, the guards, anything around really, but the guards weren't having it and told her to leave. She created quite a scene, but thank everything that is holy that it went well.
Oh, yes.
My mom had quite the story to tell at dinner, a rather comedic encounter with an entitled parent.
Oh man, I love that. These stories are just enriching my life right now. Like, it's so great. And like, I just love how the entitled mother is like, how dare you show me how to be? Well, maybe she wouldn't have to if you actually knew how to be a parent, if you actually deserved to be a parent.
Right?
God.
Okay. All right. These bitches.
Yeah. Oh, I see the Rutz has muted his mic, so.
I did for a second. I had to adjust my chair, and my chair, you know, annoying.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Let's see. What are we looking at? Hey, we have enough time for one more. Let's do another one.
One more. Okay. Yeah, why not? F it. Let's see.
Actually, no, we got two. We got one that's short. Let's do a short one.
Quickie?
Yeah, we got a quickie. One paragrapher.
Oh, one paragrapher. All right.
All right. Internet cafe charged me for a full hour instead of just my print.
Instead of just
your what? These are the ones I love. So they went. So this person went to a cafe just to print something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And the cafe decided to charge her for a full hour of usage.
Oh, come on.
All right. Well, this might be a throwback for some, and I have no clue why it came back to my memory. It's back in the early 2000s when internet cafes still existed, and you could rent a computer with internet by the hour. Or
they still practice. Do that in other countries, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at least I think in Asia they do.
Yeah, I don't really think I remember internet cafes here, but anyway.
I don't remember internet cafes, but I remember, like, office places. You know what I mean? Like code, like FedEx offices and.
Well, they still have FedEx,
But I mean, like where you Kinko's. Could go and like.
Kinko's just, used to be a place.
That's what I was trying to think of. Thank you.
Yeah, which FedEx took over Kinko's. I think for a while it was FedEx Kinko's, but I think the Kinko's name is all but gone.
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So back in the 2000s, when the internet cafe still existed, and you could rent a computer by the hour. I was about 18 or 19, and I went into one of these places because I wanted to print a page. I handed my USB stick to the cashier, and she told me I could use a computer to print. So I sat down and printed out, and go to pay like a quarter or whatever it is for a print. She pointed at a sign that said computer usage by the hour minimum. The girl was trying to charge for the print and a whole hour because she didn't want to print it for me.
Huh.
Okay, I'm pissed but petty, so I agree. And sat back down to complete my hour. So I sit down and immediately go into the network and start deleting as many window files from every single computer connected to their network.
Oh, nice.
And once my hour was up, I left.
That's a good usage of your money.
Yep,
that's worth the cost of entry right there, revenge. Yeah, come on.
I laughed as I left. I walked back about an hour later and the place was closed.
Oh, wow. That's why. That's a fun story. I will say though, I'm starting to get a little like, you know, I wonder if that was maybe taken a little too far. I don't know if that like damaged that business or not. And like, yeah, it's annoying, but that is the business. That is the store policy, I guess. It's yeah. I don't know. That one's not as sweet as the other stories to me.
All the comments are saying that. They're like, this post is really good at run-on sentences because there's only two periods in that entire paragraph.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, okay. That would, yeah, a little morally gray. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that one, but go ahead.
All right. So here, I'll let you pick this last one. So we've got, we've got demand that your money be moved. Don't let me tell you that it's a bad idea. Or... you better pay for my son's phone. Sure thing, I'll send you a bill.
The son's phone, they're both interesting. The son's phone, though, the other one, like, son's phone.
Okay, got it. Today marks the beginning of a new era. An era where a school district stands up for itself and thumbs its nose to the 1%. Yeah.
Good. Hate the 1%.
Today's main character is really a continuation of an original main character from 2 days ago, where a student demanded I let go of their phone, so I let go and let both his phone and his school window get damaged. Ooh.
His what? His phone and his school window? What?
So, again, so from what I can tell. Oh, so I keep saying main character, malicious compliance. Duh, I'm an idiot. Okay. So from the context here, this person's a teacher. Or some kind of staff.
Sure.
And the kid was playing with their phone, you know, in class or something. And he took it over. Or the staff took it, you know, was like, hey, you can't use it, you know, that kind of situation.
Sure.
And the kid was demanding to let it go. So he let it go and, like, threw it out the window or something.
Oh, throughout the window. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Originally, administration was letting the parents know that there's no way they will be paying for the parents for a replacement phone in this instance. A security guard and 34 other students witnessed this kid take his phone. Okay, interesting. Okay, here we go. Here's more context. A security guard and 34 other students witnessed this kid take his phone aggressively out of the teacher's hand and subsequently launch it across the room. It was 100% the student's fault. So the student chucked it, like took it and chucked it and was angry.
So then what's the window thing? Did the teacher throw it out the window after that?
Maybe, no, I think the window just got damaged. Like, it just says, so the teacher let go and let both his phone and the school window get damaged. That's all.
Oh, so it wasn't like the teacher threw it. It was kind of like a struggle between the two of them. And right. Then.
And she let go and he chucked it, like in with the force of the struggle or something.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't like either person threw the phone. It was just like the teacher took it.
From the point of view, it does sound like the kid threw the phone, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's different now. Yeah.
Administration was willing to drop it and move on, hoping the family of the student would do the same. That was definitely not the case.
Oh, I see. So the kid caused some damage and they were just like, look, your phone got broken. Our window got broken. Let's just call it a day. Let's be civil about it. Okay.
The parents of the phone thrower demanded that the teacher, the OP, pay for this phone, saying, you better pay for my son's phone.
Gross.
This is when admin of my middle school, with district backing, performed the best malicious compliance I've seen in a bit. I'm proud to be at my school district today.
Nice.
The district has come to the conclusion, after investigating the incident, getting statements from students, witnesses, me, security, etc., that it was the student's fault that the phone flew in the air.
Absolutely.
The district agreed, however, to pay me for the student's phone, as it was technically in a teacher's possession when it got damaged. It was an iPhone 12, so the check was probably around the area of $800. Then administration did them one better by also sending the parents a bill for the window, to the tune of $1,678. It wasn't a typical window, nor is it easy to replace. Once the teacher let go of the phone, it was in the student's possession, so now it's the student's fault. I'm not sure if this is an argument they made, but I'm assuming that's the justification for it. Doing some quick math, it looks like they are paying $800 either way, right?
Wow.
Plus, the student is in ISS for destruction of school property.
ISS?
Yeah, in school suspension.
Okay, yeah. Could.
So, the two medium didn't read. A student's parents demand the school district pay to replace a student's phone that he accidentally threw across the classroom. The district issues a check for the phone and a bill for the damage of the phone did to the window, plus a destruction of property charge on the school record.
Okay, so they sent...
So they were willing to just say, hey, let's just call it here, we're good, right?
Right.
And because the parents demanded, you know, and kept demanding to... you know, pay for them to pay for the phone. They're like, okay, but we're also going to charge you for the damages that the kid, you know, made with the phone.
Gotcha. Okay, I thought that they had paid the teacher the $600, the $800 for some reason.
The parents wanted the teacher to pay for the kid to fix the kid's phone.
Right. The teacher didn't have to. The school took care of it.
Right.
And then
the school had the district had her back. And then,
good.
They're like, okay, well, if this is what you want to do, then we're also going to bill you, you know, for the damage of the window.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, how much was the window replacement again?
About $1,700.
$1,700. So they were like, all right, we'll cover about $800. That's good. That's a good one.
I like that. Institutions actually doing something right.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just like them, you know, like they. They think that, you know, like they could have left well enough alone. They would have come out, they would have come out ahead. I mean, not really ahead, but they would have come out ahead of where they are now if they had just left well enough alone. But then instead of, you know, I guess realistically, it's like you said, like they maybe paid $100 more than they would have. But it's still a good, still winds up being around the same at the end, and you know, it's good.
All right. Well, actually, that went by a little quicker, so we can read this last one and then
all right.
Fly through it. Okay. So the topic is demand that your money be moved. Don't let me tell you it's a bad idea. All right. Sounds good. Okay. Yeah. Some of you might recall that financial crisis that happened a bit, you know, about 2008. Oh, believe me, I remember that fondly. Okay. At the time, I was working.
A little flashback there.
Vietnam. Okay.
Okay.
At the time, I was working in a call center for retirement accounts, such as 401ks or 403bs, etc. For any non-Americans, these are plans from your employer that you can contribute a portion of your salary, and usually they'll also contribute something as well to save for retirement. This is probably the biggest way the Americans save for on the end. As the account holder, you have control over how the money is invested, usually from a small selection of different mutual funds.
Sure.
Also, about the call center, I had some experience. I knew what I was talking about and was able to speak with confidence in my voice. Therefore, I was on the escalated line. That is reserved for people who want to talk to a manager. I was not a manager, but I and others like me get these calls. In some rare cases, we actually fixed a problem, but more often than not, just told the customer the same thing they had just heard from the first rep, only with that level of confidence. Mm-hmm. Then they hung up as a happy customer. We also had the ability to review previous calls to the center. So one day, in April of 2009, an irate client was transferred to me. He had just gotten his quarterly financial statement showing that he was invested in several different funds that were affected by the stock market. His complaint was that he had called a month earlier to request that his stock market-based investments be moved to something more stable and less risky. At the time, the news was all doom and gloom, leading people to, make majorly ill-informed financial decisions.
Sure.
This didn't happen. As I reviewed the transaction history on his account, I confirmed that whoever he had spoken to previously had only redirected new contributions into stable funds, but had made no change to an existing balance. I told the gentleman that I could review the call, and if our rep had made a mistake, adhere to his wishes. I then tried to say something else, but was quickly cut off. Yes, review that call. I want my money out of the market. I tried to say something like, okay, but sir, only to be cut off again. This was not a man with a small account balance at the time. It was around 500K, meaning that at the beginning of the crisis, he probably had around 1 mil in his account.
Shit.
I reviewed the call, and yes, our rep had made a mistake. I went through the process to retroactively conduct his requested transaction. The rep got a negative mark on the record for making mistakes, but the customer really got the short end. For those that don't know, the low point in the market was in early March of that year. Many stocks in the markets rebounded enormously and very quickly. Hmm. What I wanted to tell the guy was something like, Fund A is up 28% since the day you made that call, Fund B is up 32%, etc. But as he didn't give me the chance to tell him that to think about his request, well, that is why I'm posting here. As my company had to backdate his transaction, he instantly lost around $150,000 in his account and missed out on the boom. Of course, he called later to complain, but even after our mistake, he had done exactly what he had asked. I hope he's enjoying his retirement.
Jeez.
For my haters, let me simplify this situation a bit.
Yeah.
In March, dude seems that his balance is around $350,000. A big paper loss from a high of $900,000 or more. Exactly 18 months earlier. So that's a lot of money to lose in 18 months.
Okay. Yeah. So if I'm wondering, because again, this story is a little harder for me to parse because I'm not financially savvy. So, and I know you are. So if I'm understanding correctly, the guy was calling to say, hey, I want to, what he wanted to withdraw his funds. That part I'm not clear. Like, what was his request?
All right. So essentially what happened was,
this into something I can understand.
Well, so there's more. So let me finish his explanation and I can answer your question. Okay. So in the course of 18 months, his account was at 900,000 and because of the initial error that the company made, it went all the way down to 350,000. Okay.
Sure.
He wanted to panic sell. Essentially what happened was, now it's he's watching the news, 2008, finance, the stock market is crumbling and all this stuff, right?
Sure.
And so instead of listening to this guy who, you know, is a financial advisor, knows, you know, he's on the Escalade line, so he relatively knows what he's doing.
Right.
He didn't listen, and he did, so he, they took all of his accounts and whatnot out of what the funds that he was originally in and moved them out of the stock market completely, right? So basically, okay, sold everything and just left the 401k sitting in there, not making any money.
Right.
And so he had called in March, and the next month, the market rebounded completely.
Wow.
And so it was already in the process of rebounding, right? So because of how he had it set up, so give you a timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the start of the crisis, the guy had 900,000. Okay. A year and a half later, down to 350. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to, you know, because of that error, right? And he wanted to pull out of the stock market, he then also lost 150,000 because his money should not have been there.
Because of the error.
So he should have gone down from 900,000 to 200,000.
Oh, so he actually complained about an error, but the error was that he actually didn't lose as much as he should have?
Right. So because of the error the company committed, and so his funds were kept in the stock market longer, he got that initial money back from the rebound. Because as the markets were rebounding.
Oh, and he just didn't understand that. He didn't realize that it was rebounding, and
because all the news was reporting was, you know, the stock market was crashing.
So okay, so I think
instead of listening to the guy who we called in, the Escalated guy, and going, "Hey, you probably shouldn't do this because, you know, the markets are up right now," he just kept yelling at him. He's like, "I don't want to hear it. Just sell."
Okay, so if I'm understanding correctly, he panicked when he saw that the stock market was crashing, tried to, you know, like do the not wise move and be like, "Oh, let's pull this out immediately." And the company was supposed to, but they didn't. That was a mistake. And because of that mistake, he actually started recuperating and would have, you know, had he, you know, just let it go, he would have made a lot more money, but he was being petty and he was like, "No, I want out."
Yep.
Okay.
And so the employee listened to him.
Hey, you know what? You know, that guy screwed himself over.
Yep. Lost $600,000.
Oh, boy.
you should listen to your reps sometimes.
Yeah. They know what they're talking about.
Okay. So, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I got a rec for you. It's for the interesting people out there. The sunshine, rainbows, and spicy people.
Hey, is that are you calling me out in some way?
No. Anyway, I've got a book series. I'm just gonna say, be a bit open minded when you read it if you choose to read it. Okay.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The book series is called Sex Wizards.
Sex Lizards or Wizards?
Wizards.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Basically it's a book about someone discovering magic. And in this world, magic is created through BDSM.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting concept.
Exactly. Things where sometimes book talk gets me and it's like, "Hey, I got an interesting one for you." It's interesting enough, I'm in book two.
And it's a good story?
So that's the other thing. So it's very kinky, right?
Right.
Very, you know. What I thought was funny is it's classified technically as like queer, like a queer romance story, right?
Sure.
And the very first two characters we met is a heterosexual straight scene, which I thought was funny as shit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a little weird, but totally worth it because the character they introduced, she is phenomenally hilarious. She's great.
That's
so well written.
It sounds good. Like I'm intrigued, and like it sounds like it could be a really interesting story. Like that's kind of it's a neat concept.
So I will say, so far in book two, it's not as interesting.
Okay.
The first one, like actually, like it kind of feels almost shoehorned in it towards the end, right? But like, there's enough breadcrumbs throughout the story where I'm like, I'm actually going back for the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because essentially the story is they're trying to find, like, oh, this wizard, this guy meets this wizard in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, he's hot. Let's fuck, basically.
Yeah.
And
a hot wizard.
Yeah. She's
the, like, hot colonel in this story?
You know, yeah, you could say he is, yeah.
Do you have a secret recipe?
Yeah, I know what that secret recipe is now. And so she's like, yo, you got magic in you. I've learned from your sexual energy that there's magic in you. So he goes and, like, learns all about magic. And throughout the process, apparently that wizard has gone missing, the initial one.
Hmm.
So he's trying to, like, use his beginning magic powers to find her, basically.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's, like I said, so far the second book, not as much, but that first one actually, like, has a story. And I'm like, I don't know why the story is good, but it is.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. That's,
BDSM magic, let's go.
Interesting. I'm, you know what, in hindsight, I feel like I blew a wreck last week on Christopher Lambert's balls, because I actually have a wreck, but I'll remind me next week.
No.
Oh, fine. Fine.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Melissa's Appliance is fun.
It is, yeah. That's a good palate cleanser after that asshole episode, because some of those people were really horrid. I mean, the people in this one were horrid too, but at least they got their, like, you know, their just desserts. Yeah.
Okay. On that note.
Wait, you hate that mind melds that we had?
Oh, God, no. No. Let me go back to my BDSM magic. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to start watching DS9.
Yeah, enjoy the rest. We'll catch you next week, y'all. Bye.
crushing.